and get all this information on West Virginia out there and go viral. You can see a fair amount of information on this on a website called Scan Retina. And then, let's see the other one. The Maine Republic is another sort of a blog website.
So, Steve, if I may, do you have, like, something that you can, like, draft up and then forward to everybody that they could maybe post on Facebooks and, you know, stick in their email address books to everybody they know to get it viral?
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely have that information. And then people that should be going on that whodoc.info website to take information out of the two tabs there in particular. One is the filings, which is the filing of all the paperwork that was done in the West Virginia case, and then also the tab that's called the evidence package. Once you go through those two tabs, you come out being pretty close to doggone expert on what's going on and what people are going to need to do in their own states. So anybody that wants to get the standard information that I send out, they can send an email to me at stevegronka@me.com. So that's S-T-E-V, G as in George, R-O, N as in Nancy, K-A, at me, that's M as in Mark, E as in Edward, .com. So fire up the social media.
So your last name again is G-R-O-N-K-A?
Yeah, that's N as in Nancy, K-A.
Oh, G-R-O-N-K-A, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so fire up your Twitter accounts, your Facebook accounts, your Instagrams, anything you got. Get this information going.
Don Stevens, journalist.
Good man. Glad to have you on board. We're just talking about people trying to get this information out of West Virginia out to as many people as they can. Yeah,
sure,
so I have all the social media accounts, sometimes three and four, you know, like four Twitter accounts and, oh man, a bunch of Facebook accounts, then LinkedIn, Instagram, you know, got all of them. So, yeah, anywhere you can, put it out there. Let's see what time we have now. Okay, it's, we usually try to get going at 10 after. Sounds like most people are on the call now that are coming in. We'll get a few stragglers come in, a few people dropped out on the way. But let's see. Do we have Thomas on yet?
You do have me here.
Okay, Thomas. Okay, there we go. All right, so let's open with a prayer, and then we'll have Thomas come on and give you the latest on West Virginia. And just remember, get this stuff out everywhere you possibly can. And then,
just quickly, if I can interject, is there going to be an opportunity to ask questions at the end of this or something like that? I was brought into this day by a friend at courtesy, and I've only had not enough time to digest it as well as I'd like, but I already do have a number of questions that might be beneficial.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We always have questions. So have no fear. You'll be able to ask away.
Yeah.
All right, so let's open with a prayer then. Heavenly Father, we come before you again in agreement, Lord, that we need you, Lord God. We humbly bring ourselves before you, Lord, as your creation. We recognize our position, that you made us from the dust of the earth. And Lord, we ask that you would impart to us a greater understanding of the things happening around us. Give us a supernatural discernment, Lord, supernatural strength, as these times require many of us to be working nearly around the clock.
Yep.
Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us in our physical bodies. And for those on this call that need healing, we ask that you would bring a healing to those who need that, Lord, in their physical bodies. Lord, we ask now that you would bless this time for us together, that you would bring us to a greater understanding of your word through our activity in helping to support what is happening in West Virginia. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
So, Thomas, go ahead and give us what the message is tonight.
Okay. Well, before I start, I have to bring a little something out because someone had a personal issue with me and addressed it to several other people. And so Mr. Greg Todd of American Planning United, I have, and I'm only going to speak on my behalf, but we are a trio in this case here. And so without all three, nothing to report. But we have absolutely no affiliation with American Planning United whatsoever, and they do nothing on our on my behalf or anything having to do with my portion of the case. And as a matter of fact, he is hiding behind a corporation dealing in fraudulent real estate deals because you can't own property in this country. And he has absolutely no understanding of law by the statement he has made to me. And so I want to make it very clear, I have nothing to do with Greg Todd or American Standing United. Absent my wedding signature with a seal and his name signed to it too, I have nothing to do with him. Now, what I plan to do tonight is to go over the proposed Declaration of Absolute Independence and Pure Freedom and the rules and procedures for a court of record by of and for people that have proper standing and capacity only, and that it is in no way for any person that is still under corporate rule and has not made it quite clear that they are not in some way, shape, or form. And that is simply to protect them from charges of treason and sedition, because if you do not understand, the assumptions and presumptions are that as soon as you're born on the soil of this purported country, you are their property. And if you do anything to act out against them or in contravention to what they do and their policies, that is sedition and treason. And the three of us, in this case, have made the decision that we will not and cannot work with anybody that is below our standing and capacity, as it puts our case into unclean hands, and we are not willing to dirty our hands and ruin our case that we have researched and worked hard for and jeopardize it in any way, shape, or form. And so once again, this is a free will choice to join us for the future of our country and our children, but absent those terms, we have nothing to do with anybody that has not stepped out from underneath the corporate jurisdiction and venue. And so this is what we devise simply for the average American to read and understand, and it is their choice if they wish to assist us to sign this and come with us or to not sign it and to stay where they're at. So this is under and out of absolute necessity. It's a universal, notorious, and lawful notice to any and all in absolute, original, universal, and superior jurisdiction, venue, and law form. It is organic, letters, patent, for the living souls to enact and effectuate a court of record. It is a declaration of absolute independence and pure freedom. Notice to principal is notice to agent. Notice to agent is notice to principal. Immediately upon the individual autographing, sealing, and executing, this letter's patent shall be in full force, effect, and effect by and between the signatory parties with absolute, original, universal, and superior jurisdiction, venue, law, and private juris society forming as the result thereof. Declaration of Absolute Independence and Pure Freedom. Nothing is so natural as to dissolve anything in the way in which it was made binding. Nothing is so agreeable to natural equity as that a thing should be dissolved by the same means by which it was bound. Nothing is more consonant to reason than that a thing should be dissolved in the same way in which it was created. What was true then is true now. I blank do by these letter patents absolutely, intelligently, knowingly, and willingly assert, attest, affirm, declare, proclaim, and publish with and under full responsibility and liability that I am equal with all other flesh and blood living souls and therefore superior to all fictions of law and those who may hide behind the same. And further do absolutely, intelligently, knowingly, and willingly assert, attest, affirm, declare, proclaim, and publish with and under full responsibility and liability that I hereby rescind, annul, void, repeal, and cancel any and all allegiance, agreements, contracts, documents, forms, etc., for cause, including but not limited to fraud, constructive fraud, fraud in the factum, and fraud in the execution, to with any earthly living souls and or fictional entities, ab initio, non pro tonque, in perpetuity without recourse. I blank do by these letter patents absolutely, intelligently, knowingly, and willingly assert, attest, affirm, declare, proclaim, and publish with and under full responsibility and liability that I immediately and unconditionally renounce and expatriate my alleged citizenship in under any earthly living souls and fictional entities, including but not limited to the Vatican, United Nations, USA, United States, the United States of America, de jure United States of America, State of West Virginia, Wood County, and any and all letter variations of local, state of, national, and international equivalents, etc., all of the aforementioned, both de facto and de jure, ab initio, non pro tonque, in perpetuity, without recourse. I blank do by these letter patents absolutely, intelligently, knowingly, and willingly assert, attest, affirm, declare, proclaim, and publish with and under full responsibility and liability that I immediately and unconditionally repatriate to our Lord's absolute, original, universal, and superior jurisdiction and venue, ab initio, non pro tonque, in perpetuity, without recourse. I blank do by these letter patents absolutely, intelligently, knowingly, and willingly assert, attest, affirm, declare, proclaim, and publish with and under full responsibility and liability that I claim, accept, acknowledge, continue, recognize, and adhere to the absolute, original, universal, and superior law form solely comprising of cause no harm to other living souls or their property and to honor all lawful contracts, thereby sojourning above any all jurisdictions, venues, and law forms in, on, or above earth, ab initio, non pro tonque, in perpetuity, without recourse. Autographed, sealed, and executed under absolute, original, and superior jurisdiction, venue, and law form on the blank day of blank, in the year of our Lord, 2015. And so that is the minimum requirement for anybody to assist us in our endeavor, and that is simply to ensure your safety and your proper standing capacity so that the corporation that we're fighting against has no actual standing to claim that you have committed sedition or treason in your acts. I will stop for a second and see if we have any comments or questions on this specific section.
Thomas, what does that mean for a small business owner that's incorporated?
You have to remember that you can have different standings and capacities, and you can wear different hats at different times.
Okay.
But at any time that you're dealing with us, you are in the proper standing capacity. But if you do have a business or something that is incorporated through the inferior jurisdiction and venue or law form of any of these corporate entities purporting to be government, you have left a loophole open for them to come and say that you may have committed sedition or treason. And that is simply because they have allowed you to create it, therefore they control it, and those that control it make the rules. And so we you know, that may cut a lot of people out. But this is about sacrifice in the future. And if you're not willing to sacrifice, there's really not much that we can do to work with you or assist you in gaining your freedom. There are ways to run a business without registering or incorporating through these entities purporting to be government. And a person that is free and of the proper standing capacity would already know that. Does that answer your question?
Can you say that last part again? I mean, or just you mentioned, just to clarify a little bit.
Which part?
About the last sentence there.
That there are ways to run a business without incorporating through these entities purporting to be lawful government.
Okay. So just basically not have paperwork, kind of.
Well, you don't beg someone for permission to operate. Because that's what you're doing when you're registering. You're begging them to allow you to operate. But it's under their jurisdiction, venue, and law form, which means that you are liable to all of their rules, regulations, ordinances, statutes, codes, constitutions, treaties, which
so that would
places
be like
you under the king and pope's jurisdiction.
Now, would that be like if you hit? Go ahead.
No, go ahead and ask that question.
All right. I was going to say, okay, so if you don't have, like, a so-called business license, what if you have, like, some kind of an account, like a bank account or something, under, like, a DOB?
Well, you're going to – that's a different hat you're wearing, but once again, that's a back door for them to come in and say that you are in that capacity when they indict you for sedition or treason.
Uh-huh.
It's a back door for them and their foreign agent lawyers.
Thomas, my next question would be, since they basically have done this as a fraud, allowed you to believe that you're incorporating and it's that they're a legitimate government to do this with, doesn't that negate them being able to come back at you for sedition or treason?
It only negates it when you have more guns than their foreign agents do.
Right. That's basically what we're dealing with overall.
Correct. I mean, lawfully, no, but legally, yes. And I think that's what a lot of people aren't understanding.
Right.
And you could do business with these foreign agent corporations and force them to be in government capacity by signing documents a certain way. And it's been proven by many people the world over, as long as you're signing in the proper fashion with your autograph, you can put them in their government role because they do have a government role. They just choose to try to force you into their commercial role.
Right. So how do we go about doing that then?
Well, if you have something already filed, then you would want to immediately rescind, annul, void, cancel it. And when you made the application again, at minimum, it would be without recourse and without prejudice. And what that does is the without recourse allows them to have no actions against you because of the document. And without prejudice means that you're signing the document, but you're not binding yourself to a quasi or silent tacit agreement that extends outside of the four edges of that paper.
Leonard from California for a question.
Go ahead, Leonard.
No, I cancel his question.
Yeah, there you go. I don't blame him on this, buddy. You know?
Go ahead.
You mentioned a couple words, perpetuity, in that document. And my question is, because of the maxim of being against perpetuities, can you explain how those words are used in this document and why that would not be against the maxim of law?
The maxim of law is dealing with perpetuities that continue on, such as this purported constitution or treaties or other agreements that extend past your lifetime. And because this document would die with you, the perpetuity is only a perpetuity until they bury you. And so technically it's not perpetuity, but the statement is actually saying that it's for as long as you live.
Gotcha.
And it's only binding you. It's not binding others to an agreement that they weren't a party to, such as the constitutions or other treaties and contracts. And so that would be the difference I would see in it.
Thank you very much, my friend. That's what I wanted to hear.
Okay. Nothing else?
Yeah, this is Sandy in Florida.
Yes, ma'am.
We do, if we're in Florida, I mean, how do we get this to file it at the courthouse here in Florida?
You wouldn't want to file it in anything, because by filing it, you're actually giving up possession, control, care, and custody of it, and you're turning it over to them and their jurisdiction, venue, and law form. This would be something that you could give notice by mailings to certain persons, and you could post publicly, internationally, and universally on the World Wide Web. And as long as space permits on hudoc.info, we would be more than happy to post it there. But I would never recommend filing anything within any department or agency of this de facto foreign-owned and controlled military-occupying corporations.
Thank you very much. And then how do we join with you in Wood County?
Well, it would actually be the West Virginia, because we're not we don't have any counties that would be de jure at this point. We're actually attacking the state, because everything's run through the state level, the counties and the cities and townships. And this would just allow you to assist us and to keep our hands clean, your hands clean, and try to protect you the best. You could assist us with enforcement, which would also be by separate private contract with the signatories of the court of record, or you could just come up to give clerical assistance or other assistance in promotion. There's many ways that you could assist us, but we have to at least have you at the same standing and capacity as us. Otherwise, we then have unclean hands, and we cannot seek remedy.
Okay, I have no more further questions, so I appreciate the answer, and yes, I understand, and yes, I will do whatever you need me to do to assist West Virginia.
And we appreciate that, because we are all humans on this earth together.
Amen.
Anyone else before I move on to the next section?
Do I sense disgust in your voice when you're describing these foreign agent occupiers, or is it just me?
You sense a lot of disgust in my voice for many things today, but
okay,
especially for these foreign agent occupiers that the Patriots insist on defending, because they claim that they have ignorance of the law that they're bound and sworn to uphold and maintain.
The Patriots claim that.
Say that again?
You said the Patriots are defending these foreign entities.
Yes, I've been getting it all day, that they know not what they do.
Oh.
And that's not an excuse.
But they forget the maxim of law pertaining to that, am I correct?
Correct. Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
There you go.
And then that's what they would say to us, too, right?
Correct.
There you go.
That's actually what they've said to me in court personally. And so
and
I uphold
you shouldn't go to court.
The same standard.
And you shouldn't actually go to court, right?
He was under duress.
Well, I was kidnapped, so I didn't really have a choice.
I understand.
And when you have a SWAT team of foreign military occupiers pointing at 16 at your head,
they're illegal.
You don't really have a choice. Correct.
Right.
Well, they're illegal and unlawful. Well, no, they're not actually illegal. They're legal. They're just unlawful.
Well, I guess that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Stand corrected.
Well, I try to choose the words carefully.
I understand. I mean, from a natural standpoint, what they're doing is evil. Okay.
It's evil and it's unlawful. And we as sovereign, independent, real men with hands and legs need to understand and differentiate between that. And what may be in their heart may be good, but I can tell you personally from my personal experience and contact with hundreds of these foreign agents that in their heart, it doesn't matter. It's their actions that matter. And that's actually another maxim of law that words do not matter, but the actions speak of the heart. And so if their actions are evil, their heart is evil, regardless of any defense that any person may have in this country for them at this point. Accepting a paycheck to do evil is even worse than just doing evil.
Okay.
Anyone else before I move
because
forward?
Because they're being a tool.
Correct. And they'll be, as soon as they exterminate those of us they want exterminated, they'll be next on the list. They don't realize it, but they'll be next on the list. It's happened throughout history over and over again. The enforcers are next on the list after they've done the enforcement.
Because they can't be trusted, they betrayed us.
Correct. That's just common sense, I would think.
It's always through history they get rid of the thugs after they've done their purpose.
Correct. Because they can't be trusted.
Yeah.
And they know that. But for a paycheck right now, most of these persons are willing to do it. And I have attempted to educate them in my case, which went on for 4 years, and I gave the best education you could get for free, and they still refused to see the light. And so this petitioning and begging and pleading, at some point you must invoke the law of necessity and the maxim of the states you may take arms against the armed.
That's us against them, you mean?
I mean, you could put it in those terms.
Or whoever against the aggressor.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, if they're coming at you with arms, you may take arms to defend yourself. You have the right of self-preservation given to you by your creator. And when someone is trying to exterminate you or enslave you, you have the right to repel them with the same force they are using against you. And we've tried petitions. We've tried court cases for years.
Or greater force, if you can.
I mean, if you can, I mean, you are allowed the right to self-preservation and the preservation of your family and your community. And as a matter of fact, that's your duty. That's your duty. And anything less than that is actually a coward and is not honorable or just at all. I don't advocate violence. That's why we filed the court case. And we've shown and we've proven and we've got them in default and dishonor. And through the commercial venue that we filed into as well, they no longer have any standing authority or even exist in law, at law, or otherwise. And so they are simply now a bunch of persons without any official cloak. They are acting on their own personal ignorance and liability at this point in the entire state of West Virginia. And that is a... that is a dangerous place to be if you're trying to pass something on to your family at some point, because you've put everything up now, and it's for grabs if you cause harm.
You mean for their situation or ours?
For theirs. I mean, they have no cloak to hide behind anymore, so their personal assets are there to rectify any torts that they may have committed. And the assets of that corporation as well, but they don't realize it, and that's because the lawyers are not telling them, because they don't want them to know that, because
are
they
you able
would
to,
no longer do what they're doing to us.
Are you able to identify the individuals that are behind this stuff, or at least some of them?
You mean at the state level or federal or
any level? Kind of.
Well, I mean, on the public side, in the imaginary and bizarro world that they claim to operate it, it's the Pope. On the private side, you wouldn't know the top person or the top 18 or 20 because they've never been known, and they'll never be known. That's okay. The way they've set it up.
Okay.
And once again, this is all imaginary. In their heads, and all of it's imaginary, actually. Take a satellite, look at a satellite picture from space and show me where the borders of countries or states or counties or towns are.
Right.
They're not there, so it's all fiction. It's all imaginary in someone's head.
Okay.
And me personally, I don't believe in fiction. I believe in what I can see, feel, touch, smell, taste. Otherwise, it's not there.
Okay.
It's only there because they put a gun at your head and say it's there.
Right.
And that is not lawful in any nature.
Simon says with a gun.
Correct. And I think a lot of us have had trouble understanding that in the past.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I have a question, please.
Okay.
You've mentioned, what you read to start with strikes me as a bit of a declaration of independence, sort of a paraphrase, if you will, of a declaration of independence.
Yeah.
Obviously, many people are in agreement. You've also mentioned a reluctance to proceed through the courts, but obviously it appears that you are forced to go through the courts to whatever degree that you can. Because that is that is our jurisprudence in this country at this time. The question I have for you, though, is what is your actual goal within the courts, and what is your mechanism that you're using to proceed through the court?
The only goal I had was to do what I did, which was to put them in default and dishonor, and through the commercial venue, because I utilized every jurisdiction of law in the complaint, and the only one that really matters non-judicially is the commercial, and because of that, they no longer have authority to exist or maintain themselves.
You were given a judgment from the court that reflects that?
Why would I have a judgment in a non-judicial commercial arena?
Well, commercial arena is
non-judicial.
Not necessarily. Civil litigation involves commercial entities more often than not. So I'm just kind of curious.
You're thinking de facto statutory commercial, not real commercial.
Well, once again, if you're going to proceed through the courts, though, you have to play the game within the courts as prescribed, whether we believe in that or not.
No, you don't. Not when you invoke absolute necessity. You don't have to.
How does that make a difference? Could you explain?
Absolute necessity makes that which someone calls unlawful lawful. They call what I did unlawful, but it's actually lawful because I'm going through a superior jurisdiction venue in law form, and out of necessity, there is no other venue to hear it in at that point in time. Same way they've utilized necessity to enslave us, only they had no lawful basis to do it.
They called you what they're doing. In other words, they're Leninists. They're calling you unlawful, and they are actually unlawful.
Correct.
Well, that's why it struck me as a Declaration of Independence. If you look back to when the United States had its first Declaration of Independence, that was before there was the lines in the sand were drawn between the British Empire and what was the budding American Empire. But that was a line in the sand that was drawn very arbitrarily through an individual document, not through the laws of the land at that time. That document became the laws of the land through revolution. But once again, that's the question I'm sort of asking: is are you just assuming that the document that you create has power of standing, or are you actually going through the courts to try to achieve that?
I've already expatriated, so I'm not sure what you're asking. I mean, I've already expatriated.
When you say you're expatriated, I take it that you still live in the United States.
No, I live on Earth. I don't recognize.
Okay, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to be argumentative at all. I think it's actually excellent that this is a subject that's being sort of explored outside the legal box. But as an attorney, I'm very interested in what you guys are up to and how you're doing this, because I'd like to see you prevail.
As an attorney, you're a foreign agent, and I actually cannot speak to you.
Why is that?
Dirty my hands.
Could you explain why that would?
Attorney with a bar license.
That is correct.
Oh, absolutely. Then I can no longer speak to you. You're a foreign agent.
Can you explain why? Okay. All right. Well, anyway, I was asked to attend this meeting in an effort to try to help a little bit. So that's all I'm really trying to do is to play devil's advocate a little bit.
Well, lawyers have not helped us at all in the history of our country. So I'm not sure how you would.
I would suggest that your knowledge of history is very poor. Alexander Hamilton was an attorney, and I think he did a very good job. So I apologize.
He was a traitor if he was an attorney.
Okay. At this point, I must just wish you the best. Goodbye.
Okay.
So basically, lawyers are foreign agents because they're part of this whole thing. This is Jeff.
Yeah, if he would have stood on, I could have. I was looking up the foreign agent code so that I could have given it to him.
I see.
But I guess there's no need to now. I believe he backed off.
Okay.
But it is. It's a foreign agent under the evidence packet on HUDOC.info that clearly states that they are foreign agents or foreign power. And the bar license is evidence of that.
Okay.
And I would like to know if anybody knows who invited him. I would love to know who invited him, because that would make them a traitor to me. And I would like to know if anybody knows.
I don't know anything about it. This is Jeff from Woodcarver.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying you did. I'm just putting it out there because he said he was invited.
I see. It's hard to know.
Thomas, if I may,
yes.
What is the definition of the bar? What is the bar? What does that mean exactly?
British Accreditation Registry.
And is that what it does? It have any other meaning to the attorneys that swear an oath to it?
No, I'm not sure what they may think it is. I have no idea what's in their criminal mind.
Well, I don't mean that. I just mean is there. Does the bar have more than one definition?
They may have made up others, but if you look it up at the Temple Inn Bar in London, that is what it stands for.
Okay. And
what do you call that place again?
The Temple Inn Bar.
Temple Inn Bar.
Yeah, it came from the Templar Society, which is the predecessor to the Jesuits.
Templar Society.
Knights Templar?
Yeah.
That's like masonry and stuff.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all front organizations for the real powers. That's all. It's very simple. And I'm glad he brought up one of the founding fathers, because then a majority of them were esquires, and they proclaimed they were esquires, and so that should tell you where their loyalty lied, because it is a title of nobility above knight in the ranks of titles of nobility, and a title of nobility is a you must pledge your honor and fealty to the king or queen in order to obtain that title of nobility, which means that your first allegiance is to that noble person.
So they
were basically foreign agents of their time that were able to manipulate the average person into believing that they were for us.
Okay, allegiance to the king.
King, queen, whatever it may have been.
Okay, foreign agents, either way. All right.
Foreign power, yeah. Their allegiance was to a foreign power, which is why we are flooded with them today. They got their stranglehold on us very early. And that, of course, is why the original 13th Amendment was passed, was to preclude that completely.
Someone told me that the pyramid of corruption at the top, you have the banksters, then you have the lawyers, and you have the police. the different leaders.
I guess you could say that. Of course, the bankers, they fund everything, and the lawyers enforce that. And then, of course, the police extract the payments when necessary.
Yeah.
So that would seem like a rational way to put it. But the bankers are really just pawns or puppets for the true powers that utilize the earth and the natural resources and people thereof as simple pawns in a game. It's just a game to them.
Right. Pawns in the game.
Correct.
You've heard of the book. Okay. And who are, do you have like an idea of who the true powers are?
Now, the true powers, their names have never been mentioned, and I doubt you'll ever find out.
Okay.
So I would say the top of it would be Satan, a fallen angel, whatever you may want to call pure evil.
Okay.
And it extends down from there. Some would say reptilian bloodline.
Okay.
Others would say alien bloodline. I guess it all is depending upon your beliefs.
Okay. Steve Quayle stuff, kind of. Or something.
All right, anything else? Otherwise, I'll move on to the rules for the court.
Okay.
All right, so rules for the court of record. No fiction of law may be seen nor heard unless presented by the actual and verified owner, whom shall only enter with and under his full liability and transparency. Each signatory of the court of record shall at all times and all places discharge their duty and responsibility with and under full liability and transparency. 60 days from the service of a sworn complaint upon the respondent that is filed with the clerk of court, a trial shall commence. If the notice of time and place cannot be immediately assigned, they are to be effectuated as soon as they can be ascertained with exactness. The trial, at minimum, shall have an audio recording of the same. All living souls formally claimed to be involved in the case are required to present their own side of the matter at the trial, unless upon a showing of proof of mental or physical incapacity. And if so accepted by the court of record that there be a mental or physical incapacity, they shall authorize a friend or family member to present the same at the trial. Both the proponent and respondent may have a person of their choosing present with them to assist in the presentation and cross-examination. The verdict must be unanimous. If not, the respondent is declared the victor and may be awarded just compensation for his time and effort according to what is just and honorable. The clerk of court is designated to maintain and secure a record of all filings, recordings, and other materials of the court of record. The security for the court of record shall be present at all proceedings to ensure a safe environment. The signatories of the local court of record may authorize a living soul under contract to effectuate any writs, decrees, actions, and orders, etc., if the local corporate sheriff or marshal refuses to do the same. The following oath shall be taken and subscribed by each signatory before taking their seat on the court of record, to wit, I blank do hereby affirm that I, under full liability and complete transparency, will adhere to and apply the time-tested truths of maxims of law and equity, natural law, universal law, and moral justice in all matters before myself, that I harbor no ill intent nor prejudice towards either party, and that I take this obligation freely without any hidden purpose nor mental evasion, so help me God. Autographed, sealed, and executed under absolute original and superior jurisdiction, venue, and law form on the blank day of blank in the year of our Lord, 2015. And that is the rules for the court of record. Any questions on that? Or any recommendations to be added? Unless you're a lawyer.
Yeah. So I took what I could.
Well, lawyers are okay, just attorneys are not acceptable, right?
Well, they use many different terms, barrister, lawyers, esquires, attorneys. They're all the same.
Oh, okay. Well, aren't there some lawyers that are not bar members?
There may be some, but they can't practice in this, and they use the, they still represent a person, which is a false capacity and standing. And our court is simply for real men with hands and legs, a living, breathing soul, not for any fictions of law or creatures of the mind. Though they may walk in there if the actual verified owner is willing to enter and put up his property and assets, he may enter.
No, that would be our opponents, you're saying, right?
I would be correct.
Okay. And then you're saying that the first lawyers representing someone, is a person, is fiction, you're saying, right?
Anytime you represent something, yes.
Okay.
You gotta look at the etymology of words.
Okay. Right.
And you know, and
break them down at their meeting.
Correct, correct. And okay. And that's part of the legalese and wordplay, which is in actuality fraud.
Because they're not the actual person, they're representing
correct.
That person. Like our representatives or the congressmen are all
correct.
A fraud.
Correct.
Okay.
And we're wishing to reduce the hiding behind capacities and standings which allow these persons that own these corporations to rape and pillage our land and people absent losing their property or ending up in jail for the same if committed by an actual person would cause them to lose everything and go to jail.
Okay. So this is like Monsanto or whatever.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you must come in as a living, breathing man, a real man with hands and legs, a living soul, however you'd like to describe it, and okay. That is your capacity and standing. Anything else is inferior. It's inferior.
Okay.
Anyone else? And we were awfully quiet tonight.
I'm just taking notes here as much as I can.
Okay. Steve has a copy of this document. So, I mean, if you wanted to see it, he has a copy of this particular version.
Can you say your name again? Do you mind?
My name? Thomas
yes.
David House of Deegan.
Okay. Thomas David. And then...
House of Deegan.
How do you say that? How do you spell that last name?
Deegan.
Okay, thank you.
And you can find that on the verified and affirmed complaint on hudoc.info,
okay.
Along with my address
okay.
and phone number. We're full,
right.
Fully transparent.
And do you mind giving me that website again? Just
hudoc, H-U-D-O-K dot info.
HUDOK dot info.
Yes.
Okay.
And a copy of everything in this case, including their pitiful responses, is under the link, I believe. Let me look it up real quick, make sure I give you the right link. And we have much information on there, including past interviews I've done. Past conference calls. It's under legal filings and responses. And those are digital scans of the actual documents with wet ink signatures and our seal. But I would implore you to look through most of the site. There's a lot of good information there.
Okay, thanks. And I'm not trying to push either way. How long do you approximately think this call will go?
This call tonight?
Yes.
Do you have an idea? I mean, I'm willing to go until there are no more questions or statements by anybody. I'm not running the board though, so it's not really my decision.
it might take another hour or two or something, or just
yeah. I mean, I only have another 8 or 10 lines here to read, and then I was
okay.
Just going to go
more
back
papers.
Over the possible the venues and avenues and the angles that people could exploit in the time being.
Okay. I'm done, unless you have more. I mean, I'm just waiting for the next thing.
Okay. Anyone else? I mean, do we have anybody on the call this evening? This is freakishly quiet.
Okay.
You've got people thinking there, Thomas.
Okay. I'm just making sure. I mean,
I was writing notes. You don't want to be doing
all
this.
We're here, Tom. We're here.
We're here.
There were 7 people at the beginning, I thought they said.
Okay. I mean, I'm just making sure. It just everybody's very quiet.
And I think we've dropped off one. It might have been interesting to have. Go ahead.
Well, it might have been, but I'm not going to argue with an attorney that has no idea of real law or true law as we're discussing.
Right.
And there's dozens of people on the call, Tom.
Okay. Okay, well, then they're just thinking. That makes me feel much better. That makes me feel much better.
Just paying attention, Tom.
Okay. Well, now this document here, we have a slightly altered. This is a slightly altered version from the ones up on Hudok, but we were passing this around for recommendations and changes. And so once this has been approved, this would be the one that's going up on Hudok. But right now, I have copies of it. Steve has copies. Jim has copies of it, so if anybody wishes to request
what does Hudok mean? How did they come up with that?
So that's actually the one of the signatories to the complaint. That's his last name.
Oh, H-U-D-O-K.
Right. Yes. Yeah,
right.
Philip Hudok.
Okay.
And he's running it and maintaining it and paying for it, so
okay.
We didn't care what it was named.
Right.
We just wanted it in the public venue there, that's all.
Okay.
And so I think everybody on here has Steve's email address, so if they're interested in seeing this in person, and we'll wait a few days before we post the final version in case anybody gets a hold of it and would like to make a recommendation or something. We're open to anything that would not alter the intent or the lack of a better word, how easy this is to operate and run.
Yeah, it's quite amazing how simple those court rules are. You know, there's very little and it's very simple. It should be very easy for people to follow.
And that's the whole point of it. We're trying to get it back to real and true justice and not who has the most money and the most attorneys.
So what you're saying is we don't need those hundreds of thousands of statutes and codes. Is that what you're saying?
There's no need for them unless you're trying to control people and elicit money from them involuntarily.
Bingo.
Which is probably why the attorney is no longer on here, because there goes his business.
Unfortunately, I had to miss part of that. Did I miss a pretty interesting section there?
He's trying to, you know, apply statutory rules and procedures, and making people believe that it must be a judgment from a fictional court that has been proven to have no contractual authority to exist, and trying to stir up deceit and friction and division. So that something that has obviously placed several people's life in danger already fails by the wayside. If you call that interesting.
Oh, yeah. I imagine you kind of put him in his place and then he left.
Well, once I found out he was an attorney, I told him I could no longer speak with him.
Ah, okay.
I like to keep clean hands. I don't deal with criminals.
Absolutely.
Unless they put a gun to my head.
And even then, you probably wouldn't.
And I still don't like to then. All right, so the next section would be the procedures up to and for the duration of trial. So the proponent, who shall be the injured party, shall file the sworn or affirmed complaint, including all evidence he may wish to have heard, with the clerk of the court of record. The clerk of the court of record shall immediately set the date, time, and place of trial by order within 60 days or in a timely manner as stated in rules for the court of record. The clerk shall give the same to the proponent to serve upon the respondent, including the true, accurate, and complete copy of the sworn complaint with all evidence to support it. The respondent shall have 30 days, and maybe I should explain for those of you that are used to seeing plaintiff and defendant, we don't wish to dirty someone by calling them a defendant. That is why they use that term now, is because it creates a little seed in your mind that makes you think he's automatically guilty. So the proponent is the plaintiff and the respondent is the defendant if you're looking at it from the de facto view of things. The respondent shall have 30 days to review and form his sworn or affirmed answer, including all evidence he may wish to have heard. The respondent shall serve upon the proponent and the court of record no later than 30 days, a true, accurate, and complete copy of the same. The signatories of the Juror Society of the Court of Record shall, before trial, select via a blind draw 12 disinterested signatories to form the court, as shall hear and adjudicate all matters at hand. Prior to the start of the trial, the Court of Record meets in private, and one signatory shall be chosen as the spokesperson, whom shall speak on behalf of the others. The proponent shall, at the start of trial, proceed uninterrupted with his presentation of evidence and witnesses. The respondent may, upon completion of each piece of evidence or witness, cross-examine the same. After the cross-examination, any signatory of the court of record may examine and question the same. The respondent shall then proceed uninterrupted with his presentation of evidence and witnesses. The proponent may, upon completion of each piece of evidence or witness presented, cross-examine the same. After the cross-examination, any signatory of the court of record may examine and question the same. After the presentations by both parties, the signatories of the court of record shall adjourn to a private chamber to discuss the present case matters. A unanimous verdict is required for guilty, otherwise the verdict shall be innocent. If the verdict is guilty, the pains and penalties shall be discussed and decided, again in a unanimous declaration. Once the private discussion has taken place, the spokesperson shall call the court back to session and announce the verdict, either innocent or guilty. If guilty, the pains and or penalties and the details for the transfer of such shall then be declared. The security for the for the court of record shall effectuate the same if necessary. The clerk of the court shall act as the collector of any monetary damages so ordered with the aid of security if necessary, and shall turn the same over to the proper party or heirs. If the verdict is innocent, go ahead.
I'm sorry, this is the regular clerk of the court, like in a county that you're referring
well,
to?
Well, no, we're not utilizing their clerks, no. This
okay.
would be a signatory to this specific contract.
Okay, so this is our clerk of the court, our own clerk
Correct.
Of the court.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Let's see here. If the verdict is innocent, any details concerning the decision by any on the court shall remain unknown to all others until the end of the earth or be under penalty for any violators found guilty. If requested prior to the court of record adjourning to decide a verdict, the respondent may be awarded just compensation for his time and effort according to what is just and honorable. autographed, sealed, and executed under absolute, original, and superior jurisdiction, venue, and law form on the blank day of blank in the year of our Lord, 2015. Okay, so that's the what we would call procedures for trial. Any questions or statements or recommendations?
They're just a bunch of robbers. I don't know if this will help. I'm writing this as much down as I can.
Okay.
Tom, how did we get our own, or how did you obtain our own clerk of the court?
The clerk of the court would be, of course, has to be a person that's signed onto the private juror society that makes up the court. And at that point, it's up to the signatories of the court to decide, are they going to vote for someone or is someone going to offer to do it? And then, of course, it has to be at least a majority agree to that person doing it. And, of course, because we are completely volunteers at this point, there is no payment for any services rendered to this court. And that would only you would only be able to offer monetary compensation to anyone affiliated with this if you were to actually utilize this in support of a contractually compliant constitutional civil authority structure. And at that point, it's really, if you get to the civil authority structure, it's up to the people to decide if they wish to remove the judiciary from government, which is my recommendation, or if they wish to, at that point, revert back to the judiciary within the government structure. It's up to the people. This is simply to get us to the point to where we have a civilian structure, and then it's up to the people to decide what they wish to do. Though I would highly recommend keeping the judiciary out of the government structure, because we've seen what it does when you place it within.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention real quick, and I hope it's not reiterating what everybody already knows, but the three portions that he just read are for and would be signed for if you wanted to become part of the Jural Society. So these paperworks, all three, are for the Jural Society. The first one, which obviously is the Declaration of Absolute Independence and Pure Freedom, that is for anyone ready to become sovereign. And of course, and as he's mentioned, as Tom's mentioned, and wants to interact within the new society that's going to be formed. So, and basically stepping out of the whole corporate structure. So, but I did want to make a point that these three pieces that he just read together, once they're signed and basically sealed with a thumbprint and the West Virginia Court of Records seal, this would make you and you would agree to be part of the Jural Society. So I just wanted to make that clarification. Thank you. And I yield.
And to further expound on a Jural Society, in case a lot of people have no understanding of that, that is really what is the beginning basis of forming any society, is that a group of people come together, and the first thing they normally decide is a way to adjudicate and quell any disagreements or arguments absent violence. And so when a group of people normally come together, they agree to find a way to settle their disputes peacefully. And once they've done that, then they start focusing on a structure. I hate the word government because I know what it means, but a structure of government that would assist them. It sounded like somebody was being attacked right now.
Sounds like a child on the phone there.
Could you spell that Jural Society for me so I get the correct spelling? Someone.
J-U-R-A-L.
knew it would be that simple, but, you know, trying to make it overcomplicated.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. And so what we're trying to do is present people in their living, breathing, living soul, real man with hands and legs, however you want to describe it, capacity, absent the fictions and creatures of mind that we're used to, and allow them to come forward. Because, of course, anybody that is still under the corporation or corporate structure really has no say in the lawful civil authority, because they've agreed to be bound by the terms of their own private juror society that is masquerading as government at this present time. So, in other words, the fictional creature of the mind, corporate foreign military occupying force purporting to be government, is actually a private juror society in and of itself. So we're not, it's not as if we're creating a new thing or a concept here. We're just showing them, by way of private contract, that we have agreed to adhere to a different venue, jurisdiction, and law form than theirs.
Yeah, they won't see it that way, but that's going to be have to be too bad. they're like
that is absolutely too bad, because they're inferior in standing and capacity at that point. It doesn't. That would be like the slave telling the king, no, king, you're not in charge. I mean, if they did that in times past, the slave would probably lose his head.
Because government is supposed to be our servant.
Correct.
My pen doesn't make noise, this way you don't hear any noise.
No problem. By the way, there will be a recording of this call placed on hudoc.info probably sometime tomorrow morning or afternoon, depending upon how long this call is. And that would be under, let me pull it up, make sure I give you the right link here again. That would be under, okay, looks like it's going to be under interviews, and it would be under conference calls with Steve Gronka, and we have the one from the 4th and the 10th, and then this one would be the 13th, in case you've missed any of the past ones where we went over and explained why and how we did what we did here.
So we dial the same number, is that correct? Or we go to who dot?
Well, you could dial the same number until, well, no, it's actually it would be, what, 3149, I think, until the next call on this number. And then it's only that present one. But if you want the past ones that I've been on, the two past ones, you would need to go to Hudoc, and you can either listen to them there or you can download them as an MP3.
Well, I've been on them, so, but it doesn't hurt to listen to them again.
Correct. And also on there, we have a, let me make sure here, I don't want to lie. We have many Truth Traveler interviews that I've done, including last night, which was classic. We also have a couple, I believe two bunker files I've done in July, conference calls of importance, Knowledge 101, I think that was a private one I did concerning true law, and I think there was one with Pastor Butch Paul, with me, Phil, and Gene, after the filing of the petition. So everything that I've done publicly, we've tried to collect here and post all in one place.
This is Leonard from California. I must say that live stream on the 24th that's been edited very well, where it shows you talking about the documents and and showing that trust or showing that that lien, that $28.6 quadrillion lien, that was really, really good for people that don't want to take the time to listen to radio shows or listen to shows. They could watch
yes,
that or even get on HUDOC and going through all the documents. Some people don't really want to do that.
It's a 49.5 minute beautiful high def version of Pretty Old Me. people, come on, laugh now. We've got to have a sense of humor here.
Okay.
And it is at the it's above the Hall of Shame that we have there. It's got hot links surrounding it. It's a YouTube link. It is 50 minute video. And please enjoy our Hall of Shame. We will be adding more to it as we go along.
That's opponents?
Say that again?
That would be opponents on the Hall of Shame?
So far, we have the three defendants right now, but we are adding more very shortly in this near future.
Okay. Now, their defendants, whereas in our situation, we would be respondents if they were... The aggressors.
Yeah, in the court of record, they would be defendant would be a respondent, correct? Defendant
now,
has
post...
a negative. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Should we post like? Okay, I mean, you know, just asking because what like there's a call that you said would be on the you know HUDOC site. Would you advise that we should post anything on social media like the call or no? What do you think?
You're free to everything on our website. We operate under complete transparency. Everything is there to download and distribute in any fashion you see fit.
Okay. All right. I mean, didn't want to,
even,
you know.
No. I mean, we wouldn't post it on the internet if we didn't want it out there.
Okay.
We hold no copyright to any of it.
Okay.
This is for the people.
Okay. So it's okay to put it on Facebook or whatever.
Oh, absolutely. And what you'll probably find is, I'm not sure how big some of these interview files are. I don't think they're very large, but I mean, you're more than welcome to post a link to HUDOC and directly to the MP3 file. You can.
Everyone on the call.
Let me see here. I'm trying to see how big of a file it is.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I know he tries to compress them as much as possible. Okay, they're about 60 megabytes or so. So most generally, if you were going to post it somewhere, you would probably just want to post the direct link directly to the player. And there is no restriction on where you post it or any of it. Everything on there is free to distribute.
Okay. So link would be the best.
Unless you're going to do like a document, then you could probably use one of the document file sharing sites and just embed the code into it to where it would view directly on the page. But I'm lucky to be able to turn on the computer and keep it running, so that's not my expertise there.
Yeah, been there. And this earlier day, you were on Truth Travel last night. There was some movie that you liked. There was a certain girl movie. What was that movie again? I didn't get that down.
You're talking about my baby doll, Mila Kunis.
How do you spell the movie?
It's Jupiter Ascending, I believe. But that was just, I mean, I only watched it for her for a few minutes. But Aaron said that the theme of the movie was rather applicable. The one that was truly applicable to what we are facing is the Kingsman Secret, the Secret Service or something like that. And both will show you what they're doing, you know, privately behind the scenes and the technology that they're utilizing against us. They have to tell us somewhere what they're doing, and it just seems they're putting it into movies more and more.
Some part of law that... hello?
Well, I was just going to say, I believe you also mentioned The Matrix on that call, too.
Yeah, The Matrix trilogy.
Or the radio show, I should say.
Where do mortgages fit in all this stuff?
You're breaking up. I didn't quite hear you.
I'm sorry. Where do mortgages fit in all this stuff? And debt.
That's part of the fraud they're perpetrating, because no money is ever actually loaned, and so there's never actually a debt, and so it's actually fraud, financial fraud, money laundering.
Okay.
But you can't do anything about that until you've changed the government, because the government is actually in bed with the banks, because they're debtors to the creditors, which are the bankers.
The Federal Reserve.
That's the national. Yeah.
But at all levels, they have debt.
Correct. I mean, it's fraud everywhere, but probably I think there may be a few countries that may operate with lawful money at this point that are not part of the...
In America, they're pretty much all in debt.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. So you have to change that to fix the other...
Yeah, correct. I mean, if you're just going after the mortgage fraud, you're not going to have... Well, I mean, I've been fairly successful with it, but you're not going to have any success with it unless the government changes. You're not going to have any success with what they're doing to us environmentally, because they're all in bed together.
Okay. So we're going to ask you about the mortgage and stuff. So basically, people are back to square one. They have to change the whole government or just pay the mortgage off.
The best you could do at this point, if you understand what you're doing, the best you can do is not make a mortgage payment and stay in your home. But, of course, even if you were to pay your mortgage off, you still are not the actual owner.
Because they could real estate taxes? Or the fact that they
well,
want to consider your house collateral?
Because you don't hold a lodial title.
What about land patent, Thomas?
Well, a land patent, just look up the definition of a patent. It's a grant from a sovereign. Well, if you're a sovereign yourself, you don't get a grant from another sovereign, do you? So a land patent was just a way of them making you think you had a lodial when, in fact, you had something inferior.
Huh.
So that's a fiction, right? The sovereign there.
Correct.
Or the whole thing.
Yeah, so in other words, the queen wanted you to believe you held a lodial, but, in fact, she just gave you a patent for use, which is half a title. You had equitable title, but you did not have the legal and equitable title together, which forms the allodial.
It's equitable, but not legal and equitable.
Well, you have to have both in order to have a full title.
Mm.
There's always two interests there.
How would you say that?
Well, I would say that if you wanted the legal title, you would need to talk to the Pope.
Oh, sure, he's going to give it out.
I'm sure he would if you asked nicely.
Yeah. Okay.
But be very nice about it. Don't be like me. Ask very nicely, and you may get it.
Yeah.
I know someone who's friends with him.
I used to be his friend.
You're very nice to him.
I'm not anymore because he's failed. He's committed breach of trust, fraud, trust fraud, money conversion, money laundering.
No, not
slavery.
The Pope.
No, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. And so is in his private army, the Jesuits. They're the greatest men on earth. And please, I'm being sarcastic, people. Please don't go spreading that around.
Now, as a Jesuit, as the Pope, what does that make him in the Jesuit army?
That's a good question, because this is actually the first Jesuit Pope, so I'm not sure... What he would be, because
that'd
black
be the Jesuit
general?
General.
Well, the black pope is the general, so
well,
I'm not sure
the black
what
pope?
He is.
Who is the
well,
black
that,
pope?
That may well no. There is a black pope. The one quit earlier in the year. I'm not sure of his name, but there has been one installed. So maybe
we don't
if you
hear
blend
about
the
that.
Two, Maybe if you blend the two, you get a gray pope, which I keep hearing of. I'm not sure.
Well, then,
I try to live in reality, so this fictional stuff is really hard to wrap my head around it sometimes.
Hmm. Okay. So who is there a black pope, or do they always have one, or?
They've always had one.
Okay.
But I would say that he's the crossover to the private side of things, if you believe in this fictional public-private stuff, which is just some imaginary thing that some lawyer drew up somewhere.
Well, what does that mean exactly, the black pope? Does that mean he is a black man, or is he just black like a demon?
Well, I guess it could be either, the black pope would generally wear the black garb.
Ah, okay.
I would have to defer to the authority on that, and that would be Gene. He may be able to tell you a little bit more about what he thinks of him. I'm sure everybody by now knows what I think of him.
No, tell us what you really think.
Well, I think you should probably venture into the bunker or the truth trapper there. I think I've said it quite clearly many times.
I always hear you speaking quite nicely to the Pope on that show.
I always tell him hi. I always tell him hi.
Invite him over.
He's more than welcome to come to my place and return my stolen property and assets anytime.
Your house and everything.
Correct.
Your ownership.
All of it. I mean, he's got the bank accounts, too. I've won it all. It's all mine.
Okay.
And if he was acting properly as trustee, I would allow him to continue that role, but he's failed in his duty and committed trust fraud, breach of fiduciary duty, for about 39 years now.
Oh, is that long?
What do you mean, 39 years?
That's how old I am.
Oh, okay, I got you. You're a young pup.
I am a young pup.
Speaking of pup, how's your pup? Still eating everything?
Today he was a good boy.
That's good. He's probably got some blind stuck in his throat.
Well, no, he knew I was not in a good mood today, so I think he didn't want to tread.
Smart pup.
This is Jim from Florida. Tom, do you want me to go over kind of the big picture again and just kind of keep reiterating that part as far as sort of big picture plans are for the immediate future for everyone's involvement?
I was going to go over the three alternatives that we have for people to do something in their area. In addition to attempting to support us and what we're doing here. Let me pull up Hudok here and see what he changes this thing every day on me. Let me make sure he's got this stuff posted before I start talking about it. So you can do what we've done, which is to first petition the three branches of government. I believe you're working on that, correct? The templates for each state still, Jim?
Yeah, okay. That should be ready in a couple of days. I've already, just so folks out there listening can hear, I've already got a few people starting to give me a call or text to say they want to be the lead in their state when it comes time to go ahead and, start the process of putting the petitions out. I'll just go over that real briefly once again so everyone gets kind of familiar. Repetition helps. The petition is approximately right now about 8 pages. It includes, the last page for each portion with signatures and placed with thumbprint. I even made a little box that says put your right thumbprint here. We've ordered the seal
for West Virginia Court of Record seal, and that's raised embossed. So those will get done for the Jural Society, just so you know, and it won't be needed for the state petition side. I just wanted to keep you up with everything that's going on. So back to the state petitions. You'll have to produce reproduce 8 pages, and then they get delivered specifically to each member of the executive, that is the governor, attorney general, each member of the Supreme Court, and then, of course, the leaders in both the House and Senate. So on your paperwork, when you get them, if you're the lead, you'll see that all the names listed and their mailing address. So you'll know how to fill out envelopes, obviously. So the petitions are going to be relatively easy to do. You'll go ahead and print your name where appropriate, sign, and then you know, you're going to have to obviously address the envelopes and incur the cost of postage. So approximately average per state is about 15 copies. So that's what it's going to take to be the lead. So you'll find two other like-minded individuals. Obviously, we, you know, as Tom has reiterated time and again, the Declaration of Absolute Independence and Pure Freedom has to be signed so that, you know, you can participate as sovereigns. So then your three names are printed, and then you each of you sign, and then you'll, like I said, you'll go ahead and mail a copy up to each in your state. So we're trying to do a lot of that legwork for you. Obviously, Tom, on the legal side, me just as administration, just to go on the websites and find this info, probably give a few little instructions when you get your pack, and that would be that you double-check some of the, you know, some of the specifics for your state. We went ahead and looked up the dates for the state constitution, so you don't have to look those up, and that's about it. So they should be pretty much ready to go. You do a quick once-over, go on the Internet, double-check some names and addresses, if you would, and then you'll be ready to go and print, sign, and stuff the envelopes and slap postage on them and send them off. So, Tom,
just to add in there, you don't have to sign the Declaration of Independence and Absolute Freedom to do the petitions or the court case. You can if you like, but that's not a requirement. You can just stay in the corporate capacity that you are to do the petitions and court case. But you do have that option if you wish.
Would they get in trouble not having signed the declaration if they get a response?
No, because Gene and Phil, of course, because of the document we found on West Virginia's website, putting the citizens above the government, all three branches, which you could probably find a similar flow chart in other states if you looked on the official website. Actually, Gene and Phil came in as citizens of West Virginia because we could prove that they were still above the government structure.
Okay.
And, of course, I had expatriated in 2013, so I wasn't even in the government, but I was able to prove a tort had been committed upon me.
And then the last piece to the state petition is the actual affidavit and of service, and that that is for people's personal records. Is that for the leaders' personal records to hold on to?
No, that actually gets – well, of course, you would want to keep one copy. Each person would want to keep a copy of what they sent, but that actually gets delivered with the packet, same as you would in a court case whenever you did a filing. That's included in the packet.
Right. And
it's not a certificate of service because you're putting your full liability on the line saying that you sent it, and you're putting it under oath. And so if they wish to claim that they didn't receive it, they would need to respond in kind.
Right.
And I can guarantee you they will never respond in kind because they can't, because they're limited liability by their nature.
Right. And that's a good point to drive home to everyone. If you were to take up the position of the lead and or a signator on the state petitions, Tom has just reiterated that you're not looking at finding yourself in quote unquote hot water for doing so. So you won't, you know, you won't.
No, it's a simple petition and a notice of a breach of contract, which, if you believe in the Constitution, you have the right to petition. So, and there's nothing in it that's vulgar. There's no threats of any kind. It's simply putting forth 14 points for them to either address or rebut.
Right. So with this phone call, and since we are so close to finishing up the state petition packs, you know, obviously Tom has no problem at all with any states that have leaders that would like to, you know, step up to the plate and move forward with state petitions as soon as possible. Obviously, you just need to take down my email address and tell me, you know, who you are and what state, and say, you know, a short note on your cover letter for your email, just saying, you know, I want to be the state lead for my state. So if you haven't already contacted me, please do. It's my email address is jjl@governorshope.org. I know that sounds strange, but it has to do with something else. But anyways, so jjl@governorshope.org. And there is an S in there, Governor's Hope. And then once I get that, I'll start compiling the list for each of the state leaders. And then the state leader will be responsible to find two other folks to sign, print their name and sign those papers. And
minimum of two. I mean, you could do more, but a minimum of two, please. And that's simply to stay in line with the scripture that states out of the mouths of two or three, because that is the basis for the true law form that we're attempting to utilize.
Yep. Thank you for that clarification. So that's it. So I just want to give everyone a little heads up on that. Please, you know, if you're listening and you're, you know, obviously you're like-minded like us, please feel free to take up that position of leader in your state, and let's get we'll start to get these petitions up within the next 7 days. Anyways, we should start to go. So there'll be a little bit of cost, like I said, for some printing of 15 copies, 8 pages each, and then postage. So that should be about it on that. Tom, I wanted to ask you on these. Do they, when they sign, I went ahead and took the liberty of putting place for, you know, their thumbprint. If that's correct, right, they should also, when they sign, they'll go ahead and put their thumbprint on there. With
correct. Right? And normally you want the thumbprint to touch at least a portion of your signature.
I see. Okay. I'm glad you said that, because I have them right underneath the sinks, but, you know, I can put them right on underneath the line, so that would be cool. All right. And that's that. So other than that, it's West Virginia, and then I'll let you sort of how that's all going to roll out. Or as much
and the continuation of that angle would be then once they have defaulted and dishonored themselves, because I can bet the few pennies that I can rub together that you will not get a response. At that point, the next step of that process would be to file the complaint, as we did here.
And Tom and I and Steve, we're all been talking about you know, trying to maybe move forward with that as best we can, without having to get into you know, a minimum of an hour kind of digging into each state and trying to find specifics, trying to find codification of violations that are relatively generic across the 50 states, so it doesn't turn into too much of a customized document. At least that's what I'm going to bet.
Well, I think most generally, after looking at it the other night, I think that you would remove the initial three or four references to the West Virginia Constitution in specific articles, and make sure that you remove any reference to the West Virginia Constitution throughout the rest of the document. Simply insert your state's constitution's proper title. And then, of course, each party would need to, in the standing...
What if we have a bad state constitution, like the 19th 1871, which is a communist constitution, versus the 1870.
You can conditionally accept it under the law of necessity. That's what we did. We have a de facto one from 1873 that's been modified way too many times, and so we conditionally accepted it only on the basis that they purport it to be in full effect operation and constitutionally compliant to the original federal.
Conditionally, that you said.
Conditionally, yeah. And that's on the basis that they can prove that it's contractually compliant with the original Constitution for the United States of America, circa 1819.
It's from that year.
That year is because that was the final ratification of the 13th Amendment, the original.
Now, are those amendments after the 10th Amendment bad?
Well, we've accepted up through the 13th. In my opinion, they don't really do anything for us, first off, because we're not a party to it. And second off, it's kind of implying that government gives you certain rights when, in fact, it's from your creator at birth.
So I was wondering if only the first 10 amendments were actually kind of valid.
Well, I mean, the first 13 are valid if you believe the Constitution's valid.
Okay.
But we after the 13th, no.
Yeah. And we have to start somewhere when we go to rebuild, so, you know.
Now, correct.
Now, he's talking about the original 13th Amendment.
Yes, the title of nobility is not the, not the slavery one from the 60s. 1860s.
Okay.
And we've got copies of, I don't know, 20 or 30 states, their published laws, which are prima facie evidence, with the original 13th Amendment, I think ranging from years 1819 up through about 1850, maybe 1860.
Okay.
You can get a lot of that if you need to see it just to be.
It's on NewDoc.
Yeah, I think probably the copies there are from University of Texas Law Library.
Well, we found more, Gene.
Okay. Just a little while ago.
Someone sent them to me. I think it may have been Linda or something. Sent me 20 or 30 states worth, so we compiled them all together.
A little while ago. You said something like they will not respond in kind because it's against their nature, because they're like a fiction. And then once they have defaulted and disgraced themselves, they won't respond to us. I'm wondering if our proper thing, way to go, is to not respond to them or treat them the same way.
Well, we're trying to stay in honor, and according to the Bible, you must take your problem to your brother that's causing the problem, and
okay.
You must tell him the problem, and you must tell him how to remedy it. And at that point, you're supposed to go to the magistrate, and that's what we've done here. And then once you went to the magistrate and you can still not receive remedy, you invoke the law of necessity to do as we're doing in West Virginia, which is invoke a court of record to give us the actual remedy that's required.
Court of record.
And that's the document we went over earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, the Journal Society, and that's referred to as the court of record. It's the start for the rebuilding. So, if you don't mind, and I hope I don't upset too many people by postulating here, but I do want to start to get people thinking and a direction of what's going to happen, you know, and I don't want to, state this as this is what I know or hope or whatever. I'm just trying to put out there that we need to start thinking of how this is going to flow. So best case scenario, we have West Virginia, we finally get our Journal Society formed, which is days away. Those paperworks are days away from getting final approval. And then the folks in West Virginia, namely Phil and Gene, hopefully, and Tom, can get together their Journal Society. We're hoping for 30 members.
to sign the paperwork. Once they're formed, we're also hoping that through a small campaign, we can get maybe several hundred to 300 or so sovereigns that sort of back the Jural Society. And then, of course, the big piece of the puzzle is enforcement, and we're hoping that the listeners on the call and we don't want to reveal anything that might be in the works or already confirmed, but we're hoping that a good many people, let's say a dozen to 15 or so enforcement people are there also. So this gets put together. Best case scenario, they go get Tom. Tom is the lead that will deliver, the actual words that basically we're going to put the leadership, fire them, and then incarcerate them. So, of course, there'll be media involved in announcements, and things have been worked up on that end. The state petitions, meanwhile, are put into effect prior to, if not during. And so, of course, best case scenario, the hope is that with national media coverage showing the incarceration of the leadership in the state of West Virginia, the other leadership in the other states, having already been forewarned with their petitions, see that the same thing that has happened in West Virginia is now happening in their state. And so, best case scenario, there's no need to move down the path of then putting in the formal complaints in every state, because state leadership starts to see across the nation, start to see that what's happened in West Virginia is now in the midst of happening to them. And in fear of being incarcerated, maybe they start stepping down and or not showing up to work, et cetera. So, we hope to reach a critical mass at some point, and things start moving in that direction so that, to facilitate and make things a little bit easier. Of course, worst case scenario is whatever you can imagine, but let's just go somewhere in the middle. Things are tough. Complaints have to be, put in place. And we have to go through all that homework to make that happen. And then, of course, Jural societies have to be done. Basically, everything has to be reproduced as it was in West Virginia in every state. So, that's a lot, obviously, as you can imagine, a lot longer path, a lot more difficult, because obviously these folks in West Virginia have been suffering now for quite some time, and they were highly motivated. As we all know, through our own lives and interactions, even though we're all motivated on this phone call to move forward with this, to get a movement of a sort, to get the education really is the key. It's very difficult to get, a lot of people motivated in the same direction. This is sort of the things we need to be thinking about, because personally, I think, the time is here. We've all talked about we've run out of time, all of that. So I'm not going to sit here and describe exact timelines, but I would imagine everyone's bright enough to know that it's time. We're about to do this. So, as we finalize these final papers in the next few days, there is some action that's going to happen. So, it's time to do that. So I just wanted to kind of float that out there, and hope, like I said, hopefully at least anyone's time, because it is a lot of what ifs in there. I want to turn that back over to Tom so that he can.
Okay, and I was going to simply say that the other states are actually at an advantage here, because we had to formulate and draw up the court of record documents, the other documents necessary. They could, in fact, effectuate their court of record and file the complaint into the court of record rather than into the de facto military tribunals as we did. And you would receive something within 60 days at that point, most likely. And so you have the ability to do things slightly different from us, because we had no alternative at first. The second angle would be taking seven acts to your state legislature and demanding that they enact them and then put them into full force, effect, and effect. And those are If they're not on Hudok's site, they will be. I know I've given Jim copies and Steve copies of them. It's seven acts that are pre-written to do the same thing that the complaint does through the use of writs. And so that is an option that you can do. The third option would be to take a rescission of their signature on the corporate documents and vacate their office, and to take an oath that would return them to the civil authority under the constitutionally compliant structure that is supposed to be there but is not in operation and use. And that could be done from the local level all the way up to the state level with those documents. And so you have three angles of attack that you could utilize. It's just depending on what you feel is best in your area. And as a matter of fact, you could do all three if you're so inclined. The more pressure you can put on these criminals, the quicker that they can be busted down. And that's all we're seeking, is to return to a constitutionally compliant civil structure. And we're not advocating no government, no structure. We simply want to return to the original contract that our purported founding fathers gave us. And then at that point, once you've done that, then the people can decide on what best would effectuate and protect their children's future and the future of the country. And there are some serious deficiencies and alterations that need to be made to do that. Otherwise, you will end up in the same place we're at now in a couple years. And so all your work would be for naught at that point.
So, Tom, let me ask you a question.
I believe Carl Swenson in Georgia has taken the route of having them rescind their signatures, vacate office, and take a oath of office route in either one or two counties in Georgia, so far to no avail. But by doing that, he's given them notice of the felonies being committed and thereby actually building a case for misprision of felony under the 1790 Act of the original Congress there.
This is Jim from Florida. So, Tom, on the acts, if we say we were going to mount a second effort for it to go into compliance, with the acts, do they need to be stamped and formally put into their system as for documented?
Normally, I'm not sure of the process in each state, but normally you would present them to your representative or delegate or whatever it may be called in your jurisdiction and ask them to take it to the floor.
Oh, I see. Okay. So they could do this through the mail? With a letter?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That's the point I was trying to get at.
It's seven acts, and I'm not sure of the page count on the seven acts, but I'm thinking it's probably somewhere around 20 pages.
Yeah.
And it is doing the same thing as the writs would in the complaint, only they're doing it by their according to their duty. And according to the fact that we've caught them red-handed doing something that is ultra vires or outside of their charter.
I counted up just 15, I think. 15
okay.
Pages. So that's a good idea. So maybe, I want to get through on a personal note, I just want to get through the state petitions first, and then once that's done, of course, I'll have all the information for each one of the states to be able to obviously mail them to their leadership in both the House and Senate. But are you saying just to the district and let them bring it to the floor? Do you think it's a good idea to go down the path of the leadership in the House and Senate?
I mean, normally, you know, some people may have a relationship with a specific representative or delegate or senator at the state level. And if so, I would recommend presenting to them. If not, then I would recommend, of course, always go to the principal of an organization as high up the chain of command that you can.
Right. So, and with those, and just looking at this, there's no homework. You know, there's no.
No, it's done. I mean, they're written and it. Yeah, it's if they pass it, then it does what we want, which it returns them to the constitutionally compliant civil structure and gives you access to courts through your constitutional means, which would be at common law and in equity, which is what we were given in the beginning, for better or for worse. It couldn't be any worse than now, though.
So what I'm thinking is, you know, and this is purely just off the cuff, hasn't been discussed here with you on any kind of formal level, but I'm thinking maybe when I send PACs out for the state petitions, I'll attach a copy of the acts, and therefore people, you know, the people involved in the state petition will at least have them with them, and if they felt so inclined, they can also mail the acts off. You know,
with, well, you could do it with the petition to the legislature. Unfortunately, we were pressed for time, and so I actually drew the acts up after the legislature had been petitioned and vacated for the year, and so we weren't able to get them. But of course, these other states, they have the head start because all of this stuff is already drafted at once.
Right. So did the acts go with? I mean, do the acts go to just the House and, like in this example, on the House and Senate leadership, or do they also go to the Supreme Court members and the governor?
No, that would just simply go to the legislature because they okay. are acts, and they're the only okay. ones that would have the authority to do anything with them.
Of course. Okay, thank you for that.
So, and I mean, that could be a separate angle. That could be done in combination with all three. I mean, you can use all three of these at the same time if you have enough people and are so inclined to do it. The more pressure you put on them with the different angles, the more likely you are to maybe get a result out of one of them.
Well, I just think that it's a, you know, just without speaking to you personally on it, or Phil, Gene, and Steve, or everyone getting their heads shaking up and down at the same time, you know, I'm just leaning toward, you know, why not send the act with the state petitions and ask those folks to go ahead and send them a copy. You know, at the same time they're sending them the petition.
I would agree. I mean, had we had them written at that time, we would have done that.
Okay. Well, guess what?
If they're in session, take it right to them. Give it to them.
Okay. Good.
You'll find that they'll just listen because they're dumbfounded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you catch the cookie monster in with his hand in the cookie jar, that's normally the look you get.
Okay. Well,
come on, people. That was a little bit funny. I mean, we've got to lighten up here a little bit.
It's like we're college students. You tell us a joke.
I'm laughing. I just had it on mute.
Okay. Now I'm trying to lighten it up a little bit here, because it is a very sad situation that we're in here.
But we're about to pick that.
But I would implore the people. I mean, I know that he's got them somewhere on Phil's site, the acts. But right now, I know Jim and Steve both have copies of all these documents we've discussed. And to, if nothing else, send them an email. Get copies of the acts. Get copy of the rescission of signature, the vacating of office. Get a copy of the oath to return them to the civil authority. And go ahead and read them, and go ahead and, you know, educate yourself a little bit, get comfortable with them. You never know. You may have a senator or a legislator call you and say, you know, may ask you a question about it. I mean, you may have interest. We don't know what will happen at this point because no one's ever really taken it to them in this manner. And it never hurts to try. It never hurts to try at this point. And you just have the ability to use all of these angles at once, whereas West Virginia, we had to draw these things up as we went along.
Just personally, like I said, I think it's great. Well, I'm going to, when I send out packs to people, I'm going to be including the act, and I'll give them instructions that the acts are to go, obviously, strictly to the House and Senate members with their petitions. So, that just makes sense, and why not do it while they're mailing out that? Why not do it? And it's, or if they're in session, like has been recommended, you can bring it right to them in the state capitol.
So we've tried to give you as many angles and possibilities as you can use to start doing something. I mean, the acts, I don't think, I haven't read them since I wrote them 4 months ago, but I don't think they're anything. You may have to change the name of the Constitution for your state. I'm not even sure, actually. I really haven't read them since I wrote them.
Yeah, that's
but there's almost nothing to do, and there's no signing or anything. Because that would be up to them to bring it to the floor, vote on it, and sign it if they pass it.
Right. Yep, the acts are the first act, that's the only thing that needs to be changed out is the state's constitutional date. We've already hashed that out. And so I could change that looks like it's on another one too, but I'd go through them, make sure it's changed out, and before I attach them to whichever state is.
And actually, give them the link to that resource we've been using. I forget the name of it, the Green Papers or something.
Green Papers, yeah.
Yeah,
Papers.
Yeah. You could give that to them, and that's a great resource for quick looking up of some facts about how many constitutions you've had, whether they've been ratified by the people or not. It's a great little resource.
Education.
I mean, we've tried to compile everything and make this as easy as possible for everyone that we possibly could. But I would implore you, before you send anything, please read them and understand them. And if you're not understanding them, then you need to contact someone so that you do understand them. So I think we've explained it fairly well. The previous call, we went over specifically why we did what we did, how we did it here in West Virginia. This call, we went over the court of record. So please, if you think you have any recommendations for the court of record within the next few days, get it to Jim or Steve there, and they can get it to us. And we're open to things that we may have missed, but we think we have a pretty simple and pretty complete court of record document so that even a child could do it. That's what we're trying to keep it as, something that a child could do. But we're open to any suggestions or ideas that make sense and yet still keep it very simple. Did you have anything else to say, Jim, on that? I mean, I think we've covered it all.
No, I just think that, my plea is for now is everyone online to, if you've got friends in another state that are like-minded, you could give a chat to, or you haven't already invited on these calls. But seriously, we are literally right now looking to start to fill those lead positions in each state. Once again, the leader will find two other signatories that will sign the docs. It's a little bit of expense to incur, but for the most part, the whole goal, obviously, is to start applying some serious pressure before it gets too late. And hopefully we get them to some sort of breaking point, and that's it. So
I'll say my email address again. That's jjl@governorshope.org. jjl@governorshope.org. So email me, tell me I want to be the lead for state of California, Colorado, Maryland, Alaska, whatever it is. And then if you've got friends that you talk to pretty regularly and that are of the same mindset, this is not anything that's going to, you know, it's just not a tripwire that you're going to get caught up in some legal mess or bears. So let's do this. You know, this is part of what we've been talking about, getting involved, and let's finally get something going. Meanwhile, we're still working toward, you know, getting these last final things done on the paperwork for the Journal Society so that can get formed in West Virginia and start to, there's some recruiting can start going on for some sovereigns to back that, and hopefully someone on the line, a few people on the line, have a good feel for what this enforcement is going to turn out to be. Remember, folks, you know, folks that will be coming in from out of state will have to sign their declaration and then an employment contract, and Tom is working on that. So, you know, we're trying to move it forward, and let's get this done in the next few weeks. Let's at least get these state petitions done and finalize the details for, you know, the support needed in West Virginia to go get Tom and start to, you know, go to the state capitol and start firing and incarcerating these guys to send the resounding message across the country that it has started. So that's our hope, and I yield.
Jim, this is Sandy. Who do you have representing Florida or on your three signatures for Florida?
I don't. I'm in Florida also, Sandy, so I planned on being the lead on that. I would imagine if you'd like to be a signator, then, you know, I'll be more than happy to have you there.
Great, because I don't mind it. I'm not afraid to go in jail. I'm not afraid to do anything, and I will protect the state of Florida, so I will get in touch with you. I only have Susan's number, but I have your email. I'll just messenger you my direct telephone number, which Susan has, but we'll get together on that. I have no problem with putting my thumbprint on it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, we will do that. In fact, this is probably going to happen in the next 3-4 days for sure. So, yeah, thank you for stepping up like that. Thank you very much. And thank you in advance, actually, to anyone on the call who's already thinking about sending me the email off. Thank you very much for considering that. I'm really hoping to get a massive movement going on here, and this will start to ring their bell. So thank you.
If you notice, this is Gene again, we got a little creative with our stamps. I don't know how many's actually looked online to see. We had made some copies of the mailings we made showing who they were going to. And we can put a little humor into it if you'd like. If you'd look at those, you'd see. There's plenty of clown stamps available right now for sale.
For the fiction.
Well, oh, how about
they always said Barnum and Bailey's was the greatest show on earth, and so we figured that at least the state of West Virginia was trying to put on a good show.
We had the one stamp that had the five ring circus on it, and we have five Supreme Court judges, so it was appropriate.
For our fictitious rulers.
Funny. Yep, so we're getting very close. Thank God. I know that folks in West Virginia are more thanking God than me, but I feel for you guys. I know you guys have been through a whole lot, to say the least, and look forward to the day this moves forward, as you do.
Again, I want to give my thanks to Tom and Dean and Phil, and also Jim, to you for taking the mass dealing of all this and working with Tom and everything else. But again, I want to express my appreciation and to thank God for all of you.
Thank you.
I'll repeat it once again. I'm not looking for any thanks. I appreciate it, but I'm just looking for fellow humans to join us and assist us in this endeavor.
Do you guys mind if I ask you what you do, what your livelihoods are? Do you mind if I ask?
I have no livelihood.
Okay.
I've spent the past 5 years helping people and studying and doing this.
Okay.
I'm just Jim from Florida. I do remodeling work.
Gene is actually the smartest of us all. He has no electronic communication, really, and just sits back and laughs at me and Phil while we garner hundreds of calls and emails. And so that's his job, is to sit back and laugh at us.
He's got no computers, huh?
Nothing.
Okay.
He's the smartest one out of the three of us.
Okay. Well, I bought computers to run machines. I bought a thing called a ShopBot. I have a woodworking shop. And I did have a laser until a few days ago, and it crapped out on me. And the manufacturer says they want like $1,300 to replace the part. Anyway, so I'm doing that. Do you guys mind if I give you my website? It's jeffwoodsmith.com. You can see stuff I make, and there's a Facebook link if you're on Facebook, if anybody wants to look.
Thanks, Jeff.
And that's Jeff, J-E-F-F, or G-E-O-F?
The regular one, the first one.
J-E-F-F, okay.
That's right.
Can you say that again and spell it out for us?
J-E-F-F. Wood, W-O-O-D, Smith, S-M-I-T-H, .com. And then there's a Facebook link on there, and you can see more pictures of stuff that I make in that. So I make, like, parts for old houses and engravings for people and whatever weird projects they come up with.
Okay. Well, this is Sandy in Florida. I am one that helps a lot of veterans and helps a lot of other people. I get myself in situations or whatever, just like I had to call 911 for somebody on Saturday and get them situated, just different little things. I try to help wherever I can. But this is, you know, as Tom said and as I have said previously on this call, I'm not doing this for me. I am doing this for our future generations and to get our USA back under our control. So that's where I stand.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Al Ashworth. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying I'm Al Ashworth and I'm not a lawyer. So that's a good start.
But you're already my friend.
You know, I appreciate it. I do own a business, a small photo finishing business, and I do talk radio, and I'm an author, so I do my part as well. I try to educate people and try to keep them informed the best that I'm able to. So I really appreciate what you guys do.
Thomas, I know you said before that you don't say thank you, but for lack of a better word, okay, you know, for lack of whatever, my thanks is, you know, giving you my blessings, your family my blessings and prayers and everything else, and just appreciating, okay, what you do.
You know, I accept those, but, you know, out of all the people I've helped and everything I've done, I've never accepted a penny or anything for it. I'm just simply doing what, utilizing the gift he gave me and what he told me to do with it. So.
Amen.
Amen to that. God bless you.
And so with that, I guess we're over 2 hours here, and I'm not sure that
okay.
Jim probably wants to stay on much longer, but is there any other questions or anything anybody wishes to discuss while they have me here?
Yeah, can we call them tape measures instead of rulers?
Well, there you go.
Yeah, you could.
Maybe you could find a more derogatory term that might be working.
I've taken to just calling them outright idiots at this point. Okay, Steve, did we want to do this again, like Monday or Tuesday?
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
Okay.
Probably Monday is better because Tuesday seems to be more loaded with calls of one sort or another that other people are doing.
Okay. So Monday at 8 then?
Yeah, I'll do Monday at 8.
Okay. Wouldn't you say 8 was too early for the West Coast, Tom?
It kind of is, but I mean I don't run the board, so I'm not sure if they're available later. I mean generally when
9 would be fine.
Yeah, generally.
So what time is it out there? 5?
Right.
Is that 5 o'clock out there? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And that tends to be a little early.
I prefer 9 Eastern.
Okay, we can do 9. The last one was at 9, so we can do 9 this time. That's fine.
So that would be 8 o'clock Chicago time?
Yeah.
Central, yeah.
Central.
Okay. 8. So 9 your time is Monday.
9 Eastern.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, so everybody pump this information everywhere you can.
Thank you.
Go to that website, whodoc.info. It's like going to school. You get a great education there.
And this call should be posted by afternoon there.
Is Tuesday's call posted?
So it sounds like somebody's eating their phone.
Oh, not again. Is Tuesday's call posted?
This
we're
wrong.
Doing.
Yeah. No, it was Monday, wasn't it? Didn't
Monday.
We do one Monday this week? Yeah,
yeah.
Monday's
Monday?
Yeah.
Why was I thinking it was Tuesday's call? Yes, we had a Tuesday call.
No, actually,
not
I
Monday.
Had a Tuesday off.
Oh.
No, it would have been the Monday. Yeah, and it's posted.
Okay. Any more or less comments? I got about a half, almost an inch of space on my paper here.
just simply spread the word. I mean, I'm getting out there wherever I can get on the radio and things. We just got a request, I think, for some show on a Friday sometime, but I'm not sure the details. I do the Truth Traveler every Wednesday night. And,
has she got a relationship with Joyce Riley on the Power Hour? Or I know Vincent does.
No, she doesn't. That's
well, we need to get you on the Power Hour because Joyce is huge with the veterans. And we need to reach out to the veterans.
Yeah, I would love to speak to the veterans that have been screwed over by this purported government. I think they would love what I have to say.
I was hearing that the government offers the veterans a signing bonus, but that's kind of like a loan, and if they don't pay it back, like even if the veterans have died, they've gone after the widow to like take her house or her mobile home away from her or their family. Have you heard of that?
That surprised me. No, I haven't heard of it, but nothing they do surprises me anymore.
Yeah.
I've heard of that, and the death benefit's not a death benefit. They take it.
The other good thing about the veterans is they pretty much had relinquished their foreign agent contract.
Correct.
And so they can be easily.
Oh, yes. I mean, absolutely. Even though a lot of them feel in their heart they never give up the oath, but if they're no longer in employment, they're actually not contractually bound by it, and they've returned to private status at that point.
They would still have to you know, sign the new oath and all if they wanted to participate, but at least that's one step that we don't have to deal with.
Correct. Yeah. And most of them are aware enough to how they've been used and abused for not our freedom and not defense of our actual country, but for interests of outsiders and foreigners and money lenders. And, you know, I would prefer to try to employ as many of them as possible in a civil authority because I think they've earned the right.
Yeah. And they might be more
green
sensible.
Green card veterans are okay?
Linda, you have got to stop eating your phone. Get some
I'm not. I have the phone away from my face.
I mean, it's
only Charlie Brown's teacher.
I didn't understand a word you said.
I'm not eating my phone. I have it 5 inches away from my face. And retired veterans are fine.
Oh, absolutely, because they're not at an actual office or capacity as a foreign agent at this point.
Okay.
After they have to be retired to be that way, right?
Well, retired or they ended their contract. Not necessarily retired from it, but no longer in service.
Okay.
They're not a veteran unless until they retire.
Oh, right. Or end their service, right?
No active.
Right.
So if they're still active duty, they're not veterans then? Okay.
That's correct.
Okay, I see.
That and with the...
Hello?
Blanked out, Thomas. You gone?
I think he snatched him.
They may have. Maybe his dog ate him.
or his phone ran out of juice.
His
no,
dog
he's on the landline. I'll text him.
Okay, does anyone need me for anything else at this point?
Oh, there you are. We lost
yeah,
you.
I think
he got cut
stuff,
right off.
I don't know what happened there. I have no idea. That's my friends there. So I missed anything for the past minute, probably.
Right.
Yeah, I was just texting you.
I've filled up my paper and I've ran out of space.
Okay, well then I guess I'll stop then.
Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Okay.
Next time, have two spiral notepads.
I'll try to get more paper here.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Talk to you guys later.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, so everybody, 9 o'clock on Monday. And thank you, everyone, for coming on the call. And try to get more people on the call so that we get more people learning about this and burn up those internet airways there. Get this stuff going.
Hey Thomas, are you done? Because I want to make a little announcement so people can help you.
I'm not running the board, so I have no idea if you're done.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate from earlier that I'm working with Thomas. I'm a health coach and, you know, a nutritional health coach and a business coach, and I'm trying to get, you know, Thomas to get some income coming in and get him some nutritional supplements, and, you know, everybody can help and help themselves at the same time. This is Dave in the Thumb. My phone number is 810-721-2103 for more info.
All right, Dave.
All right. Good night, everybody.
This is Jeff. I just I was still listening. I make a lot of, you know, like patriotic engravings and stuff like that. If, you know, I just mentioned it, like the Declaration of Independence and different stuff. You know, if you might want to, you know, it may encourage you to look at it or something. So anyway, right. Thanks again, you guys.
I'm looking for the Declaration and the Constitution on toilet paper, if anybody has it.
Yeah, do you call it toilet paper?
I've seen 1040 forms on toilet paper.
Okay, well, but I'm looking specifically for those two documents. So if you can find those for me, right out the gate.
This is in the Congress there, so maybe you could print that out. You know, they would buy it.
Yeah. That's probably what they use now.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that would be quite apropos for the Congress to use the Constitution as toilet paper in the White House or the in the state legislatures and the
other
and all
public
that.
Servant.
Jesus.
Anyway. Okay.
All right, everybody. Thanks for making the call. 9 o'clock Mondays.